Told you I'd do amendment number 6 as well. And we'll podcast these so you can listen to them later. I will tell you that on amendment number 6, this is the public financing of statewide campaigns. I also find myself torn, but partially because I don't think I care all that much. But I'll tell you kind of what this one is. This is the idea. Like right now, if you follow the rules as a candidate and the rules it's not even follow the rules. If you agree to the limits constrained by receiving the public matching funds for your campaign and follow them, then you get matching funds from the state. You have to file a request for the funds. You have to agree by the expenditure limits, which are different depending on which office you're running for. It's $2 a person for per registered voter, $30 million for the governor candidates, and cabinet is $15 million. So if you're running a campaign for governor, you have to agree to spend less than $30 million. Or whatever the number is this year, but, you know, it's $2 per registered voter. Or if you're running for, like, you know, agriculture commissioner, it's $15 million, okay? So your campaign has to agree not to spend more than that. You also have to raise a certain amount yourself, not personal contributions. It's $150,000 for governor and $100,000 for cabinet, okay? It's a limit of how much money you can give to your own campaign of $25,000 personally, and political parties, $250,000. And then as long as you do that, then you have to go through an audit. And as long as you do all that, you get matching funds. So let's say you're running for governor and you total aggregate raised, you know, $29 million all the right way. The state would match you with $29 million. In theory, okay? That's how this is going to work. So it gets rid of public financing for campaigns. It would get rid of that provision, something that we tried to do before and failed to do. This isn't a lot of money, typically. If you want a history of it, in 2010, it was $6 million spent on public funds. In 2014, it was $4 million. In 2018, it was almost $10 million. And in 2022, it was $13 million. So the idea that you're going to have, you know, $100 million sucked up by public financing of campaigns has not historically been the case, because candidates who typically they generate a lot more than that, and they're going to spend a lot more than that, and therefore they don't take the money. They don't agree to the limits, or they run a campaign for governor and they don't raise enough to qualify for matching, you know, kind of somewhere in between, or they don't want the audit or whatever. Okay, pros and cons on this. Let's start with I'm going to have to do this a little bit backwards. Like, why do we have public financing of campaigns to begin with? You kind of have to understand that before you understand what the rule is and why the amendment is to remove it. The argument for public financing of campaigns is you want to give an opportunity for less viable candidates to have a chance. You want more participation. You're always going to get, in Florida, most places, you're going to get Republicans. Most places, you're also going to get Democrats. Sometimes the Democrats are so hopelessly outnumbered that you want to give them a little bit of money to give them a chance to at least make it a contest. And where the Democrats outnumber the Republicans so greatly, you want to give the Republicans in those races a chance to make it a contest. The theory being that, you know, actual fights, actual political choices are more valuable than non-choices. Even if the non-choice really represents the overwhelming will of the people, the idea here is it's a little bit of political welfare in the interest of serving electoral competition and choice. That's the idea. Also, in, you know, non-major party candidates who might not otherwise be able to be competitive, this would give them a chance to at least get their voices heard. Maybe they get enough funding that they can buy some TV ads or radio ads and they can be heard in Pensacola or Miami or Orlando, someplace they might not normally be heard if they're a party challenger. That's kind of the argument for, okay, is it's for diversity, for competition, for having a real choice in these elections. By the way, there's also another argument in this line is that, you know, only the wealthy will do well. Right. Because the wealthy can afford to self-fund. OK, the well-connected. It's an idea of giving the less monetized people a chance in these elections is kind of the idea. OK, so what we've got is that is in existence. And now this is to remove it. Right. So all the pros become cons. Right. All the arguments for having public financing are arguments against this amendment, which is, you know, why you have the opposition to it. Democrats are the ones who mostly believe in keeping this, so they are against the amendment to repeal it. And I hate to say it that way, but you know this gets confusing when you're talking about who's for and who's against. Democrats believe in public financing, partially because they're Democrats and they believe in, you know, inclusivity and diversity, if you want to look at the top level. Underneath that, in Florida, Democrats are scared bleepless that they're going to have even less power. because if public financing goes away entirely, then, you know, their ability to participate and to fight against Republicans who have a 2/3 to 3/4 majority in the state house, depending on Senator House, and have a stranglehold on Florida politics at the moment. So Democrats are in favor of anything that's going to help them break the stranglehold, they think, and therefore they're against getting rid of this. Likewise, on the flip side, Republicans who want to keep the power they have are against getting rid of something that would give Democrats, you know, they're in favor of getting rid of the thing that they think will benefit them. Right. So Republicans who put this forward largely, although some, you know, one Democrat in each has actually voted for it. But almost entirely, this is a Republicans are for getting rid of the public financing and Democrats get. Now, the argument, aside from just politics, the argument is, why should people be paying for campaigns? You know, if campaigns are speech and if campaigns are, you know, a cost, then why should, you know, John Pickens, when he pays his sales taxes, why should John Pickens' sales tax go to fund somebody from Orlando running as a Democrat for the Commissioner of Agriculture? You know, that's an expense. That money could be going to pay for anything, you know, schools, you know, roads. Do we need roads? I mean, you know, that's $30 million or last year, $13 million. That's money that could be spent on other important things. Of course, it's not that much money in the grand scheme of 110, I think, what, billion-dollar budget. You know, it's not that much money, not really. But still, that's the argument. And also, how dare you take money from person A to pay for the campaign of person B? Campaign of person B is running against the ideas of campaign of person A. You know, that seems like a violation, too. So here's the thing. We have public financing in place. Would I vote for public financing to start? I probably wouldn't vote for it to start. So do I want it to be repealed? I guess it's a weird place because I actually like the idea of what public financing is trying to do. I like that it's trying to create a more fair playing field where more voices can be heard, because right now, and whether you're Democrat or Republican, you want competition, I would think. And I'm a Republican, and my state is mostly Republican, at least in terms of leadership. I still want competition. My problem with public financing is, A, I don't like the philosophy of taking from A to pay for B's campaign. Second, it does seem like money that could be used for other things. And third, I don't think it's working. It's not making it happen. It doesn't seem like it really does much. And so I'm weirdly in the place where I advocate for getting rid of something, even though I'm kind of on the fence of it. What's my rule? Always vote no on... but this is, because I would be against voting for it in the first place. You see, like the chance to remove a thing that we don't really need, that I wouldn't have supported putting in place originally. So I'm a soft yes on Amendment 6. And if that's not too complicated for you, I'm sorry. Or if that is too complicated, I'm sorry. But I'm a soft yes. I don't know whether it'll pass or not, but that's where I land. I'll be voting yes on 6.